150. How did I get so far? Of Caithness Craft Collective. I'm Louise, and today I've got a blather with Hyde. What's a crack? Coming up. Competition. Uncal. Me. A shoppy section and a dram section's back with a Wolfborn malt whiskey. I sponsor this for my own crafty business, which is www.etsy.com/shop/caithnesscraft. If I get support from there, it means I can carry on with the running costs of the podcast. I should have heard that from somebody else's podcast, so apologies if it's you. All links are with the show notes, so get your cup of tea or your dram, and I'll let you know what the crack is in Caithness this week. This episode is dedicated to the very lovely, lovely Elsline, who was Pantoffles, and she, I'm afraid to tell you listeners, has sadly passed on. A first online mate, Elsline, back in 2011, when we hit on with a lovely correspondence. She was a really, really lovely, crafty lady, and we had the pleasure of her company at the retreat last year, along with her lovely husband, the Saint. She was so generous with her time and her skills, and she ran our workshop. I miss her Instagram photos in the morning, and I miss her comments on Ravelry. May you rest in peace, Elsline, and this one's for you.
Now for the blather.
The blather. Hyde. If at all, you wondered where I was last week, I was hiding. Everyone loves a game of hide and seek, so okay, so I join in. Some of you seeked me, which was very nice. Hello to you. Well, to be honest, I was in national training for the Glen Affric Duathlon, which I'm relieved to say is done. It was a 7.5 mile trail run up round the back of a mountain through bog, river, and it was a really, really nice run. Then it was an 18 mile cycle on forest track, which I didn't really enjoy. Way too much uphill for me. And even though what must go up comes down again, I found it a very hard cycle. And then a wee 2.5 mile road run, just, you know, finish you off properly. And I didn't mind that part. I was trained for the runs and the transition. The cycle, don't think I was quite there. But I'm glad it's over and done with. And I'm glad that I did it. And I hadn't really done that much crafting worthy of chattering about. So I thought I'd hold off a week on the episode. When you say Hyde, I think of my dad. When he used to get my niece round when she was 2, and she's just turned 18, so it was a while ago. And they would play Hyde on Grandma and Seek. And they both used to go, Hyde! It still makes me laugh when they were both hiding behind the piano. And then Mum was all, oh, I wonder where Grandad has gone. And, oh, well, I'll just eat his pudding. And then out they came. Ah, we're here! I'm kind of thinking, you know, that hide the stash thing that some of us have got going on. Mine isn't from the lack of care how much I have. More laziness in tidying it all up. Some of the crafting world, and I don't mean any of you, are one of the people who buys so much stash that they can't tell people that they live with for fear of them telling off or stopping their pocket money. No, none of you listeners. You'd never sneak upstairs with a bag full of new purchases and hide it underneath the spare bed so your husband would see how much you spent. No, none of you. I certainly have never done that. What's that, scientists? Pinocchio can only lie 13 times before he breaks his neck. Oh, look, the swallows are back. Do you hide your light under a bush? When someone asks you, did you make that? You mutter on, being all shy. And the opposite of modest. You need to stop hiding it. You're marvellous. You deserve praise. And it's not rude or arrogant or big-headed just to say, thank you. In fact, it shows that you have manners. So next time you get the compliment about something that you've made or wearing, just say, thank you. And don't feel the need to explain it away. It can be quite awkward, but you'll get there. I was also hiding from the fact that I have to get a job, over and above the stuff I do just now. Well, I have to go and really organise myself and I'm dragging my heels. Listeners, to be truthful, I'm not sure about this. I've not worked for other people for over 10 years now, and I have not great confidence in this new thing I have to do. We finally took the decision to formally cease trading Energy Hunt, which is what I do or have been working for. And whilst I still have to do the accounts and keep the company legal, I don't get a paid salary from it. And the Etsy shop isn't making enough. Plus, it's time really. I could do with going out and using my brain properly and mixing with lots of other people. But I'm hiding from that. I'm in the very enviable position of I don't have to rush into getting just any job, but I want to get a job that I'm interested in and will motivate me to want to go. So, I'm hiding underneath the duvet. Hey, any of you got one that suits me, let me know. Also, if any of you have good advice on working part-time with children, keeping house and garden, and keeping fit, let me know. There, I've said it. Now Pinocchio has got no nose at all. I know the thing to do about hiding from something is to put your best foot forward and face it head on. But you've got to get the courage to get up on the toes as well. So I need to pretend that I'm Granny Weatherwax or Tiffany Egan. So don't hide underneath your bush or hide your stash. Let's get up on our toes and be Granny Weatherwax this month. If you need a pee, stop and go, because it's time for the Daisy and Sandy giggle. We've not heard it for a few weeks now.
Hello.
Oh, hello, Section. A Sandy hello to new to me, been with me for a while now, and been with me forever listeners. I really appreciate you tuning in, and I hope that you are enjoying yourself. I know it sounds quite fake because you'd say that quite quickly, but that's true. I really do appreciate you tuning in. A Sandy hello to the group members. There's quite a few. Pat B, Jenny Heiss, 56, Jenny Knits, 42, Knitting Chemistry, Karinina, 4777, Smiley Fish, Hecky Thump, and I know you're from Brit Yarns because she was talking about you the other day. Elip Sissy, Charlotte M. Hayes, Carl E. Cal, D. Hayes, Sky Mel Harvey, Mary Ham, Luzel. Oh, I like that. I wonder if your name's Louise. Luzel. I don't like being called Lou. I certainly don't like being called Lulu. I'm not keen on Lolly, but I quite like Luzel. Lane Cable and Aunt Betsy Knits. There's quite a few of you. Apologies if I've read them out before. Some of them are familiar, but I don't know if it's just because I see your names on Instagram or other platforms. Random hellos are to Crafty Womble, Do Creative Things, VJW, Lisa T, Falal Sun, and Orkney 17.
What's he crack?
Firstly, the most recent news from the Steamy is that the great Kari Westerman is now publishing a book. One that you can hold in your hands and flick the pages back and forward. One that smells of new book. And when you open it, you can hear the spine make that cracky noise. And it has pretty colours, pictures and stories and calligraphy. Kari loves books. And this is quite an old fact now, but one worth repeating. And in her career of loving books, her inspiration has come from working with primary sources from 14th century illuminated manuscripts to 16th century embroidery manuals to design a range of contemporary garments and accessories. The physical book is going to be out in early 2017, and she's launching a Kickstarter to help with the publishing and creating of the book. She's got lots of price categories, so there's something for everyone's pockets from £5 through to £500. Or I suppose you could always offer to do the whole thing and make Kari the proper published author that she's destined to be. Her Kickstarter campaign starts soon in May, and the book will be hands-on next spring. When she announced it on Twitter, my Twitter feed went crazy and it was full of retweets of her Fair Isle sample of blue and red and green and yellow. I'm thinking, the community seems to quite like this idea. So it must be a good idea. So if you go to her blog, which is www.karibookish.net, obviously this will be in the show notes, and sign up to the newsletter, it will be the best and easiest way to find out everything to keep on top of the Kickstarter campaign, and other Kari news obviously. I can't wait to see this book in reality. Kari's got quite a unique way of looking at things, and whilst I admire the illuminated manuscripts, I don't know enough about them yet. I didn't know until Carrie started this idea. So go get them, Carrie Westman, is the rallying call. I forgot to mention a lovely morning I had a few weeks ago now with Kirsty, who contacted me through the Caithness Craft Facebook page. She's from Thurzaway and now lives in Aberdeen, and it turns out that I knew her through Cook Sewell. She's a kindred spirit when it comes to knitting, crochet and spinning. And she wanted to know if anyone locally up here taught spindling, and I thought, well, I don't know anybody other than me that knows how to do it. So I invited her out to mine and hopefully showed her a little bit more than she knew already. Now, I really enjoyed myself and I hope Kirsty did too. Hello to Kirsty. Any of you fancy going to the Twin Set Summer Camp this year? They have places still. I have the details here. The camp is from the afternoon of the 7th July to after brunch on the 10th of July, and it's at Ramble Road Resort Campground near the Maryland-Pennsylvania border in Darlington, Maryland, which is about an hour and a half from Philadelphia and an hour from Baltimore. So we're looking at $335 for all meals, camp activities, a great bed, great food accommodations for those who need it, a goodie bag, 1 to 2 organised classes, but mostly knitting and fibre arts with our people out in a natural setting. And me, I'm going to be there. I've got the big holiday to Washington DC via Iceland, and on the way back, we've got 3 days in Iceland, and we're going to watch whales, do mountain biking, do geological things, not to mention the yarn in the supermarket. So, if you are around the Darlington area around that time and were kind of thinking about the Twin Set Summer Camp and you fancied sitting on the poolside watching me do lengths of the Olympic-sized pool, an outside Olympic pool! I'm so excited. I've still got triathlons to train for, so this will be perfect. You can laugh at my attempt at front crawl. You could teach me front crawl, and you can knit also. So do go to the Twin Set Designs Ravelry group and sign up with them. I know a couple of the ladies going, but there's quite a few that I don't, so I'm really excited about meeting new friends, meeting old friends, meeting actual Ellen in real life. But, you know, we feel like we already know each other. But I do know Jan and Dale, and I'm so excited. And the parents are so excited too. Go on, you know you want to. Competition. I did the random number generator for the Katja Frankl competition, and I'm pleased to say that Resorta, who is Rita from Wisconsin, who she won Boys Knits, which was generously gifted by Cooperative Knits and Katja herself. Huge thank you to both of those and all to you for entering, going and getting Katja's work. She has a big range of all items for ages and genders, so if there's something for everyone there. And she's got just a really nice, timeless style. So do go in and have a look and purchase her stuff, and you won't be disappointed. Thank you very much to everybody involved with that.
Knit along.
Uncal. I'm still loving the Uncal of the Twin Set Design podcast that and I have got going on. If you've not yet listened to them, do go check out their podcast, which you can find from your usual podcast catcher. This Uncal is in 3 parts. You may enter both our groups, and they're not hard, honest God. And you may enter crochet projects too. So the division 1 is leave it, old whips. Sorry if you just dropped your knitting or got a fright again, because when I do, leave it. Some of you are expecting it, but others aren't good. So there's another one coming. Leave it, said Pen, the best Sweeney impression. Find, admire, photograph and post a picture in the Old Whips thread in one of our 2 Ravelry forums of a whip, which is work in progress that has been forgotten, pushed aside by a new knitting or crochet love. Reacquaint yourself with the whip. Find a place of honour in which it will now have to sit until June the 1st. Or possibly just put it in its bag where the other stuff gets tidied into, like me. When you've got people coming around. On June the 1st, we'll ask you to take another picture of the work in progress with proof of the date showing that you have not worked on it. All entries meeting these 2 requirements will be entered into drawing for some great prizes. Whips must be considered abandoned in your own mind, regardless how old they are. This division will have a second phase. If you then complete that whip by the 1st of September, you're entered into a second round for even more luscious bounty, which includes a project bag from me, a pattern of the winner's choice on Ravelry up to the cost of £10, and plus a rake of prizes that the twins have listed on their show, including a Wheel Tribe pattern book from Edinburgh Yarn Fest, a ceramic soap dish, Boston Jane patterns, mini Nostipine made by Dale's Fair Hand from Fairwinds Farm, and loads more. If any of you listeners would like to send in a prize, that would be grand. I have currently more entrants, and they have all the prizes. Not that I'm competitive or anything. No, I think it's getting about even now. Then we go on to Supercorn Division. You have to be fast for this one. Division 2, Supercorn, new whips. There was a superhero. Its name was Supercorn. It was a unicorn. I saw a unicorn today. I like to think that all white horses are unicorns. You just can't quite see their horns when you're looking at them directly on. And we ran past a white horse today. Everyone else is doing a cool kid's cal. You kind of want to do them, but you really want to do this unicorn project that you've had in your queue for ages. This knit along gives you the permission to turn your back on the crowd doing the popular kids cal and get the unicorn made. Or, for instance, you've got a baby in June, July, and you have to make this baby something. You don't have to. Nobody has to do anything, but you feel that you should. And you want to, but everybody's doing a cool kids call, and you think, give you permission. Give yourself permission to turn your back. You get this started and finished by June the 1st. And, you know, got long, but if it's a baby thing, you do. Post in the appropriate thread on one of our Ravelry forums, and if you finish, you will be entered in the drawing for great prizes. And on to, finally, Division 3, Frogging. Right, this is really the un-knit along. Between now and June the 1st, you've still got time. Frog a project that you once thought you loved, but now you can't stand it. You've seen the way it parks the car, and for years you hate it. You just think the colour of its yarn is just wrong. And you don't understand, because you used to love it. You used to live for this project. And now, you can't see further than the end of your arm with it. So, shows a picture pre and post frogging on the appropriate threads on the Ravelry forums before June the 1st, and you'll be entered for the drawings too. I sound really evil when I'm talking about this. I still find this thread quite... well, a little bit sad, because you see your beautiful projects become yarn again. But, you know, sometimes you know that there's something wrong with them. You're never going to wear them. They don't fit right. You can repurpose that yarn. And the Twin Sets had this great article about how to re-skein the yarn and give it a bath and take all the kinks out of it and then dry it nicely with a weight on it. And then it makes it proper yarn again, instead of just re-knitting straight from crinkly yarn, because I don't think that's too good for it. So go listen to them do that instead of my very inane description. So you've got half of May to get onto this. I would suggest that, well, it could be the first or the last you enter, due to the middle one being you have to knit something. And unless you're Turbo Gal Lisa, or you've got a very little project, I maybe double think that one. It mostly ends on 1st of June, and then the Leave It one will run on but change its power until 1st of September, where you have to finish the whip that you have so nicely set aside not to touch it until then. And if you finish it before the 1st of September and post a photo into the thread, then you'll be in for another prize. The prizes just keep on giving here, and there are loads of them, so you should enter as soon as you figure out how to post photos onto Ravelry, and you can do it more than once. So sign up here or Twinset Designs, and let's uncal that cal.
Coming up, it's there.
Coming up. The Highland Wool and Textiles is going to be at Dingwall Mart on Saturday 21st of May. That's next weekend, so that sounds good. The Loch Ness Knit Fest is on the 29th of September to the 2nd of October, and in around Inverness, and is very well publicised. And you better be quick trying to get into the Kingsmill, because I think it's booking up. You booked me a hotel room as well there. I love the Kingsmill Hotel. Also in the far off future is Festiwool, which is the North Herefordshire Cottage Hitchin, on Saturday the 12th of November. And it's www.festiwool.com. And Gardening Witch hopes to be exhibiting there. Retreat. The retreat is fast approaching, and that's one of the reasons that you've had a missed week from me. I've been sewing and things. And they're about ready. I have lists of lists and lists. So I'm going to talk about the things that you retreatees will be needing to take along with you and a little of what you can expect from your trip north. Please pack your knitting for the weekend. Take things that you can do lots of without having to check the pattern too much, really, just in case you make mistakes if you're talking. You could take along for quiet times the fancy ones if you need, or if you need help with the pattern. Take some things for show and tell if you do have some, and they would be great for adding to your queue. I get so inspired by people's knitting and crocheting crafty works. You don't have to stand up and talk about it. You can tell me and I'll tell everybody else, because Mum hates that when I say, oh, look what my mum's made. Mum, do you want to say no? But I'll tell you what it is. So I'm quite happy to talk for you. You could take crafty things for the table of unrequirement, which you don't need anymore and you can't quite bear to throw away properly. You don't have to take stuff for this, but I will have the odd thing here, be it books or yarny things or something. Take plenty cash. Most of the places around Jonah Groats take card machines, but just in case they're offline for some reason, as they have been known to be, have cash on you. The post office up beside the Seaview Hotel has a card machine in it and it doesn't charge to take out. But I'm not 100% sure it takes all known banks and cards. It certainly takes Lloyds and TSB cards. And they're very nice in there, and they have newspapers and a small selection of groceries. But they're not open on Sundays. I think they might have a half day on a Saturday, but I'm not sure. Take your phones and tablets, pencils and pens and paper. There's Wi-Fi in the cabins and in the cafe, and some networks have 3G there. But it can be patchy depending on what network you're on. If you want to go walking at any point, take good shoes for that. There's a smashing walk along the shore to Duncan's Bay Head, and you can do that in a pair of trainers if it's dry, but you may wish to have better shoes than that. Also this year, I think if we're going to do that walk, we'll take a car up to the top because it's a good 3 miles on a steep hill and there, and then they'd have to come back again, and we nearly broke Mum last time. Take soap. Take any food you want over and above what we've talked about earlier. I'll probably be providing the breakfasts and tea and coffee and home baking throughout the weekend, but if you want things over and above that, then do get some. Ella's making the lasagnas for Thursday night, so everyone else, please take something to go along with it, so obviously Ella isn't the only one making things. The official check-in is 4 p.m, and from then on in, I'll be able to give you entry to the cabins. I have the cabin numbers, which I'll email or message you the week before. Don't worry if you forget, I have a list. I'll also give you my mobile number for you to get in touch. I know a good few of you are flying and landing at lunchtime. Margaret from Wick and my mum and Faye have offered you a lift up to Jonah Groats, which should cover everyone. There was talk of going for a wee tour of places first, and I would suggest that you hit Tesco's on the way north. Tesco's is on the exit of to Wick on the way to Jonah Groats, so you won't miss it. For those of you driving, be aware that it is a good 2.5 hours from Inverness to Jonah Groats. And if you can't see to overtake, don't. I want you there in one piece. Good places to stop for food, rest and a nice bathroom from north of Perth are Ballinlough Cafe or House of Brewer or Newton Moor tourist information. In Inverness, we often stop at the Tesco at the Raigmore Junction or a mile up the Aberdeen Junction. North of Inverness, the storehouse of Foulis, just after the Cromarty Bridge, is excellent. We were there yesterday, and there are seals if the tide is just right. And we have seen an osprey there once. North of there, plan your bathroom break for Gosby only. Again, there's a good cafe in the car park after the spa on the left. Or, if you just need to spend a penny there, there is the only nice toilets in the A9 you should use north of Inverness. I do not recommend the toilets in Brora or Helmsdale, so you have been warned. But if you want to stop in Brora, there is a little co-op beside the car park there, and Kincraig Fabrics is an excellent little shop. Then expect north of Helmsdale, interesting roads. Oh, there's a couple of nice cafes in Helmsdale. If you go into the main street, use their toilets. Then expect interesting roads. Dog-led bends, 13% hills and open skies after Helmsdale. If you can't help it but you must be at Jonah Groats before it's 4 p.m, then I suggest you go park in the big car park down past the cabins and go have a look around the wee bit of Johnna Groats. The harbour is quite picturesque and there are a few wee shops to go look in. There's two cafes and a burger van if you are hungry. And if you want to go into the inn, which is the big white building and it's part of the complex, if you see someone who, if you ask the receptionist person to go into the reading rooms, there are very comfortable areas to sit and knit and wait. Obviously explain you're booking in under my name and they should be fine with that. I'll email you final joining instructions a few days before with the final itinerary. I will have two leftover full goodie bags for you to buy after the retreat like I had last year. So keep an eye on the shop the week after the retreat for those of you who couldn't make it but wished you were there. There will be a small vendor fair on the Saturday morning for a few of the retreat attendees and a couple of the Caithness Crafty sellers. This is open to everyone in and around Caithness to attend. Feel free to come in and chat for a while, or even come over for morning. Nick from Yarns from the Plain Fame is going to be in attendance, and I've had a couple of requests that she come back for my crafty pals, so I hope that she has a good stock with her. My lovely friend Anne of Swallow Glass has given me her glass shawl brooch pins to sell. She's actually away on holiday, so I said I would take them, and I have them, and they are beautiful. You are all going to want one of these. And you will most certainly need your cash for this because I don't have a card reader for Anne's stuff. I've got a couple of photographs on Instagram, so go look there if you can. Matt Dashpour is going to have her stash of goodies, and plus if any of you wish anything from Angela's Scotch Tweed business, please go into her shop, pay her there, and she'll organise it from there. She's going to fly up, so she's not taking her shop unless you order it in especially. I've also had a lot of lovely offers of prizes and goodie bag fillers. If any of you listeners wanted to offer an item or pattern for the goodie bags or raffle prizes, of course we'd be delighted to say yes, please, thank you. And if you contact me for address, I'll be happy to give it out and talk about your crafty business on the podcast, for instance. The lovely Isla of Brit Yarn fame came to visit me on Friday. She's on her tour of the Highlands North Coast 500, along with Mr. Brit Yarn Graham. Hello! And their sweet doggie Fizz in their camper van called Eddie. She has the most wonderful online yarn shop which specialises in British sourced yarn, which I love because you know she's done the hard graft for you finding out where the yarn's sourced from and you don't have to. Lazy Louise loves this. If you want to know what's cool in British yarn industry, you need go no further. She's very kindly given the retreat attendees 10% off her shop. And the very sought after Ethel the Sheep Batch. I can't speak highly enough of Isla, her shop, Mr. Brit Yarn, who likes whiskey, and her lovely doggie. If you are in the market for some of the West Yorkshire spinners, new cocktail colours, or some of the black or tammar yarns, me, I might be in for some of that because I got one skein and I saw that Claire from NH Knits had made a colour affection with hers and I thought, that's an idea. And I got an email yesterday with a special pattern in it from the amazing Marta Polling. She has designed us a slouchy berry called the Johnna Groats Slouchy Berry Hat, and it's designed after the eight-sided hotel. I'm going to send it all to you retreat attendees, and I'm wondering if any of us can make it within a fortnight ready to wear at the retreat. Woohoo! One thing I'm going to insist on this year... Oh, you're panicking now, aren't you? It's a group photo at the official sign. Plus, I'm thinking it would be a good idea to get a couple of wee sound bites this year, so don't let me forget. There was an article in the Scotsman newspaper recently saying that Johnna Groats has become one of the best places to visit, and it's a great thing considering it used to be one of the worst. I always thought we were trailblazing taste listeners, but I still can't promise real puffins, although I can promise toy ones in the cafe shop.
The Beaker section. Me, 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 me!
Me, me, me section. I am marching up my Owlagan cardigan by Kate Davis with the Loppy Chunky yarn in dark brown. I've made two sleeves now and I'm 15 inches up the body, which it has no shaping, so it's really nice and great TV knitting, even though it's starting to get quite heavy on the circulars. So I can only do so much before my wrists complain, and it's not going quite as fast as I like. Plus, I went to the stash of Lopi yarn and I'm not sure I have enough to do it. So I might have enough to go to the collar, but possibly not to put in the button band if I get to the collar. So I'm going to knit until I run out and then I'm going to order more. I have been wearing my Owl's jumper quite a bit recently, and for some of those days I saw the short-eared owl out hunting in my garden when I was wearing it. I hope this was a thing. But the next day, no owls at all. I did get a really lovely compliment in the hairdressers when I was wearing it, because they even noticed, firstly, it was knitted, secondly, that I had made it, and thirdly, it had owls on. And they are knitting muggles, although one does do crochet, but it was a stupendous compliment, which I said thank you. I took it graciously. In reference to the preemie hats I asked you for the very generous knitters from Edinburgh Yarn Fest, I had posted them to the special care baby unit in Raigmore, Inverness, and I got a really lovely little thank you card. I put it on Instagram, but for those of you not on there, please accept their thanks too. My little cousin Ruby is coming up to her last bout of bone marrow treatment, so special thoughts and prayers welcome for her. She's doing really well. Her hair started to grow back in. She's in a bit of a rough time recently. She got two infections and had to have operations to sort them, but she's quite strong. She's so happy, and we continue to wish her well. Oh, and Click Sergeant St. Richard and I a medal, because we raised over £943, I think, was what they officially had in. So I just thank everybody that contributed to that. There's some happier little people in the Newcastle area who are battling cancers just now. I have been working, back to the me, it seems so trivial now, isn't it? I've been working on a crochet toothless dragon from How to Train Your Dragon by Nichols Nerdy Knots. And Toothless the Dragon is black, and it's quite hard to work with black yarn except in the D. I've got his ears done. Well, I've got his whole body done. His two ears. I think he's got four horns on his head. And the next bit I'm onto is his feet. So it's quite slow. And Sandy was off poorly, so Sandy had me working on it. But when you have to make four of the same thing and you don't quite get the right sizing, you have to take them out. So there was a lot of taking out, even in the daylight. It's quite fun, but there's quite a lot of information, some quite good pictures in the pattern to help you, and you know, you just model through. And it's bigger than I thought it was going to be as well. Now, the Tunisian crochet, I found the hook and I carried on, and I finished yesterday two paving mitts, Tunisian crocheted fingerless mitts by Twins at Aylin. And I used Space Cadet Mini Skeins Esther, which is fingering weight. And I used grey and a variegated pink. And I sat in the car going and coming from Inverness yesterday, where we were going to see Inverness Cali Thistle play, because we got complimentary tickets. They had been running a Healthy Hearts campaign in schools in the Highlands, where they'd been doing football training and learn how to keep fit, which Sandy took part in, and as a thank you, or just a continuation of this campaign, the schools that took part were offered some complimentary tickets. So we had a wonderful day out, and Cali beat Dundee 4-0. It was a stupendous achievement. And I've never actually been in a football match, and I've seen five in my life. I've seen quite a lot of amateur league, but I can't remember it not being a draw or losing. So this was great. 4-0 to your team. And it was sunshine, so it was just a fantastic event. And for the Bairns, Daisy didn't really care. It was, but there was quite a few of the school friends there, so she enjoyed speaking to them. And they got ice creams and got to shout. She kept saying, "Oh, that's a penalty. Was that a goal? No, we're just about to get one. Watch this." So I showed them how to cheer. I'm quite noisy, it has to be said. Right, anyway, so Karen. So I wound, I sewed in the ends on the way down, and she was wearing her mitts. And this is, these mitts have got a lovely, lovely texture to them. Ellen's put up some YouTube videos that, if you watch the YouTube videos and you buy the pattern, you will be away, straight away, doing these. Don't be scared of, "Oh, I've never done that before." If you look at this YouTube video and you've got some knowledge of how to crochet, you've never done Tunisian crochet before, this unbelievably how... Ah, really? Not that it's easy, it's just one of them things I didn't know that I didn't know. And now I do know. So, like Turbo Lisa, I want to have at least 4 pairs. So, Sandy likes them, he wants some as well. And also, I learned how to do crab crochet, crab stitch and crochet, which is where you go back the way. I had never done that before, so that was a new skill to my bow. I went one step beyond. And that is paving mitts, and you get a cowl for it as well, by Twinsit Allen. In the library corner, I'm reading George Orwell's 1984. Hello. I never read it at school. It's very sad. Very deep. Very insightful. Very scary. I think it's well written, and to think it was published in 1948 is a thing. Like The Great Gatsby being written in the 1920s or so, both of them come across as a modern and very contemporary. Now, I'm not going all political on you. I just wanted to read it. And this is one of those books that a lot of our references from today come from, such as Big Brother and Room 101. Heavy reading, having to stop and think about it, isn't making me happy reading it, but it's something that I wanted to read, one of the classics. It's a modern classic. Drams. On to the drams this episode. If you're not into the drinking or the shopping, then thank you for listening, and I'll catch you next episode, because there's only the shoppy and blah 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 stuff after this. But if you are into the drinking, stay tuned. This episode sees Richard and I drink a Wolfburn single malt whiskey.
We're drumming. I hope you like drumming. I almost forgot the words. It's been that long.
I can't remember what I say next. Hello, listeners. Welcome into this episode of The Drams. This episode, we are drinking a Wolfburn single malt whiskey.
From the far north.
Mm-hmm. Would you pass me the box?
Yes.
I had to resort to the notes there, hence the pause.
Oh, I just found out what the wolf comes from. It's very informative.
Well, yeah, it's got lots of information on this box. The box itself is cuboid, I had to think about that. Gee whiz, I'm not very good at this tonight. It's mostly black, and it's got gold and white writing, lots and lots of it, and it's got a black embossed wolf on it. And it says Wolfburn Distillery, Thurso, Caithness, Scotland. Alcohol, 46% by volume and 70 centilitres, product of Scotland. The Sea Wolf. It's got information on here. And then on the back it just says Wolfburn in gold. And then down the side it says, reawakening the spirit of Scotland's rugged north shore. From the far north, enjoy every drop, a unique flavour. And it's signed off by Shane Fraser, who is married to someone that works with Tina.
Sorry.
It is. So, this is the new whiskey from Thurso.
It's from the second bottling as well.
Yes.
The second batch of... Oh, a bottle from the second batch of bottling.
So it's not quite as expensive as the first one would
be. I think the first batch won't be getting drunk anyway.
No. However, we're drinking this. The Sea Wolf. Wolfburn's motif is taken from a drawing by Conrad Gesser, the 16th century linguistic and zoologist, and appears in his work. The history of the four-footed beasts and serpents. In Gessner's day, the wolf was a common sight in the far north of Scotland, and on the coast it was said to have supernatural relative, the sea wolf. According to the lore of the time, the sea wolf dead liveth both on sea and land. Gessner's woodcut is thought to show the creature walking on water, but this is not the limit of its gifts. The sea wolf also brings good luck to those fortunate enough to see it. As long as they're seeing it from a distance, I would say.
Mm-hmm. I've seen plenty of sharks around Caithness, but never a wolf.
Well, that's because they killed them all off back in the day. What?
That was a little joke, you might.
I know, it went over my head. Okay, from the far north, you listeners know where I live. Situated on Scotland's rugged north coast, Wolfburn Distillery was first established in 1821, rapidly becoming the largest distillery in Caithness. Named after its water source, burn being the Scots word for stream, Wolfburn is the most northerly whisky distillery in the Scottish mainland, and our master craftsmen fashion their whisky the same way it was always made, by hand, using only the finest ingredients and without haste. Wolfburn's smooth and warming flavour stems from the unhurried way in which the spirit is made. Long fermentation is followed by gentle distillation. Before the spirit is laid down in the best quality oak casks, our warehouses are beautifully dark and cool, providing the perfect environment. Oh, he's getting in with the wolf there. Providing the perfect environment for the spirit to mature into world-class single malt whisky. A unique flavour. On the nose, we'll maybe do that in a bit. When you open the box, it's got on the flaps, double distilled and small stills for a full flavour, and then it's got a wee tiny...
You open up a box and it gives you a wolf noise. Right, so you close the box, it'll stop. The box.
Right, it's got a wee gold embossed map of Scotland.
I never noticed that.
Yeah.
It's quite hard to get in and out.
It is. It's got a wee bit of cardboard hole for the top of the box.
So you don't rush into it.
It's awkward. They're on Facebook and Twitter. They've got their wee logos on there. Very clever.
Right.
Oh, my. Right, the bottle, Richard. What kind of bottle's that?
Chubby. It's a chubby bottle. It's a fine, it's quite an attractive little traditional shaped bottle.
Mm-hmm. It's got the lovely flute at the top of the neck.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite a, I don't know, it looks a bit naked, but I don't know whether it's because we drank half of it. What'd you say?
Not drunk half of that.
The label's not overpowering, it's reflective of the box.
I think the box has got all the information on it.
Yeah.
The bottle's down to business.
Oh, it sure is.
Right. You can read the box when you're actually drinking out the bottle.
Yeah, okay.
Whereas you can't read the bottle when you're drinking out the box.
Took a while to get these million listeners. Hence the pause. I'll not dignify that with a response. Right, so unfortunately, drink responsibly. I like finding bottles that don't have that on it. And it's got the tasting notes on it. We'll get into that when we get there.
Mm-hmm.
And as we said before, 70 centilitres.
The gold trim actually suits the colour of the whisky.
Oh, it does. Oh, and at the bottom of the bottle, it's glass embossed Wolfburn Distillery. That's quite cool. And it says Thurso, Scotland. Ah, I'm quite proud of this bottle, do you?
Not this particular one. I think it's a great achievement. And there's two sort of distilleries that have opened up very recently in the area. So I think it's great for the area.
And the alcoholic business.
Yes.
Because we like alcohol. Right. So
well,
the
we haven't
colour,
liked it that much because we haven't had much of late.
The colour in the bottle, we'll come on to that later.
Oh, it's pale, pale, pale.
Barbie.
That's a translucent Barbie. That Barbie needs more iron.
She does.
And a touch of vitamin D sunshine.
She sure has. She must have been in the far north and the far south for winter.
Mm-hmm. Are we going to cork?
Yes. Oh.
Silent.
And pour, please.
See, I tell you, you open the bottle and it's even got a wolf sound coming out of the bottle.
So we've poured it.
Okay.
The colour in the glass.
I'm not putting any water in it yet.
No.
Colour in the glass, again, extremely pale.
It is.
It's almost cloudy, isn't it?
Yeah. Is it chill filtered? It is. It's non-chill filtered. Obviously, I was almost right.
Whoa, wow.
The smell.
Apples.
Apples?
Mm-hmm.
Apples.
Like cooking apples, when you're cooking an apple.
Ooh,
pie.
The
kind of thing.
Trees are looking okay.
Are they?
And
cool.
The apple trees in the polytunnel.
And our
we have a Bramley apple tree.
Aerated at polytunnel.
It's still there, listeners. Remember, I didn't think we were going to last the season.
It's just missing two gable ends.
Yeah, they were. No, the doors are still there, but there was holes that went. It got ripped into it, so what I did was took the great big shear scissors and chopped bits off the bottom.
You know how when you slice up a cooking apple and sort of boil it a little bit with sugar?
Yes.
And it's sort of like you get this really strong apple-y aroma coming off, like the steam that comes off it.
Is that what you're getting?
That's what I'm getting.
I'm not getting... I don't know what I'm getting, apart from whiskey listeners. I'm thinking...
It's a lovely smell too. Pretty sharp, but...
It's sharp, but it doesn't burn your nose.
That's what you think, like a sour cooking apple, yeah. But then you put a bit of sugar and steam yeah. it, like, and it gets soft and sweet.
This whisky's very young in comparison to a lot of whiskies, so mm-hmm. I, in my usual brain, thought that it was going to be quite harsh, and, well, listeners, you'll find out. Mm. What are you oohing about?
Just swirling it.
Swirling it around the glass, what's it doing?
It's kind of quite thin. I think it's got a really good, obvious line around there.
Oh. You give this dram a nice drop of whisky. A drop of whisky to your water. No, I think you want to put a good drop of water to the whisky.
Aye.
Right. I would like to toast...
Sanjoa.
Elsline.
Yes.
Pantoffels, who was at our retreat last year, listeners, and this episode, as I said before, is dedicated to her. And here we go to her.
Mm-hmm.
Taste. Whisky.
Whisky.
It is sharp.
A little bit burny aftertaste, but... Mm-hmm.
But not unpleasant, it's kind of like a
no.
chilli.
No. Not really any distinctive flavour I'm getting there, other than whisky, obviously.
Well, shall we refer to the tasting notes? On the nose, you'll find fruit and malty aromas, just with a little hint of peat. On the tongue,
there's peaty taste to it,
sweet and nutty flavours are present, which coat the palate to leave a very slight pleasant flavour of smoke. It's a joy to drink.
I'm not getting any distinct... It's very pleasant.
I would agree.
But I'm not getting any distinct flavour. I've got a distinct smell of it. I'm not getting nuts. I get a peat. I don't get the smoke. But then I'm not used to kind of quite smoky whiskies.
Do you know what I'm getting? Running around Thurso Moors, losing my shoe into the Wolfburn itself.
Do you know that some of that odour could have come out of your shoes and migrated through the water course?
No, it couldn't have, because this was bottled before I did that run. 3 years
well,
ago.
Well, it might be in future bottles.
Yeah.
It could be. It could be a listener going that. He could go, yes, I'm getting a heady aroma of Louise's
trainer.
Brooks's trails.
It's Adidas Canada.
Oh, sorry, Adidas Canada. Yes, it's, yes, Louise Hunt's. Yes, it's very. It's a cheesy lingering aftertaste.
They're pink. They're very muddy.
That's probably what they based the motive on, is you running around the moors going, woo, lost my shoe again, woo.
Oh dear. It's very pleasant, actually.
It's nice, very nice.
It was a nice dram. I don't know what I was expecting.
It doesn't stand out like a distinctive whisky.
No, I couldn't pick this one out of a crowd, but I remember when we opened it being very, very pleasantly surprised that it was so nice.
Mm. It's not like the one down the coast.
What, Pulteney?
From your lot. It's
that's old Pulteney from Wick.
It's quite a distinctive kind of, and it just makes you think I'm on the coast and the seagulls going. Whereas that, it doesn't, you could be anywhere drinking that. I don't think, other than you wouldn't be in Islay or Skye
no.
or the West Coast.
No.
But you could be anywhere, that whisky could come from anywhere. But it's nice.
I like it.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing, it's just, yeah, I can place that. But no, it's good. Like it.
Well, I got this from Mackay's Grocers in Thurso, and it cost £35, so it's not an extortionate price for whisky.
And I had to get a bottle for someone I work with.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was asked if I'd get a bottle, and I got a bottle, and I had to put my name down to get a bottle.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I think they had plenty left over from the pre-ordered ones, but I had to pre-order just to guarantee I got a bottle.
And we're thinking about using this one for the drams for the retreat, so listeners will be in for a big treat. I don't think there'll be an awful lot left of this bottle by the time we get there.
I can guarantee that.
We've been not drinking as much as it.
Why have we not been drinking as much of late? I'll tell you why. Because every time I go out, you should be monitored and restricted in internet use, because every time I come home, you've entered me in a different event and yourself. So, what have we got this weekend? Oh, we've got two events this weekend and the weekend after. Oh, we've got a weekend off the weekend after. Then I've got another couple of events the weekend after that.
By events, what do you mean?
Events mean likes of triathlons and runs and cycles and duathlons.
It's keeping you out of mischief, Richard.
I know, it's keeping me out of mischief. It's stopping me drinking and relaxing.
It's stopping you drinking, isn't it? It's stopping me
can't
drinking.
Can't remember the last time we did this.
No, can I? Right, on my notes it says, area from.
Third row.
Third row.
In the Moors.
In the very north of Scotland. Mm-hmm. And it's our postal town. Mm-hmm. And it's got some quite nice little shops. A lot are still independently owned. They don't have a million great big chain shops. So you've got that local touch. Sometimes you get a little bit of that local price as well, but and the local customer service.
Which is maybe not always a good thing. What cracks me up with Thurso is that like I get a wee break at pinch time to have my peace, and I don't often go down the town to get messages, but I will sometimes. But all the shops close at lunchtime for their lunch.
Yeah, it's very old fashioned in that respect.
So, it's quite a vibrant place, really, for the area.
Mm-hmm. It's got the surfing champions. It's got Thurso East, which is the top 5 cold water classic waves in the world. And they just recently had the surfing competition. So you often get a lot of surfing gangs, people, that kind of crew come up and...
It's got the ferry port of Scrabster.
Yeah, that goes to Orkney, or comes back from Orkney. And there's the harbour.
Fishing,
and it's also quite industrialised for the tidal and renewable industry. The nearby Dunray nuclear...
That's a redundant test facility. That was always the biggest employer.
Yeah, and they're decommissioning it, so a lot of people that work in Dunray live in Thurso.
That's 10 miles to the east of Thurso.
Yeah. And then there's the local amenities, such as the swimming pool, which we're getting refurbished, the library, which has been refurbished and is fantastic.
The boating pond that we have to run round on a Tuesday and a Thursday.
And...
That's for running training.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of that goes on. But it does, and they've got quite a vibrant music scene. There's a local college which is part of the...
University of Highlands and Islands.
And we also have got the... So there's quite a lot of young crew about, and keeps the town young, I think.
It's certainly a more vibrant, affluent place than its other rival town of Wick. Mm-hmm. Wick's probably more history and culture and heritage behind it, but Thurso's a newer, I mean it was really built on the back of Dunray when all the folk came up in the 50s and 60s. Mm-hmm. But it's certainly more, I suppose, affluent with more wealth and shops and whatnot.
And it's the end of and the start of the A9.
Yes.
Which goes south. Yeah. So, there's a ferry port, train station and bus station for your transport links. Mm-hmm. Wick has got the airport.
Wick's got the airport, yeah.
Not that I'm biased or anything. I quite like Thurso as much as I like... No, I don't. I quite like Thurso. It's okay.
It's okay.
And around the area, it's got salmon rivers, it's got beaches, it's got the North Coast 500 travels through it on its way from John O' Groats through to Durness on the west coast, and it's a place to go.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. And now it's got Wolfburn Distillery. Mm-hmm. So, Richard, who are you going to invite for your dram tonight to share with our Wolfburn Distillery dram?
I am going to have a boy called Greg McHugh, better known as Gary Tank Commander.
Oh, a Mazan.
A Mazan. So.
Who's Gary?
Ding or deal?
Ding.
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 Explain.
You explain it. You've right. invited him.
He's a Gary Tank Commander is a comedy character created by Greg McHugh, who...
He's so funny. So funny and so quick.
Mazan. So. Who are you inviting then?
I was going to invite Percy Sledge because my hairdresser told me today that he died the same day as Prince died. And I thought it was a bit strange that I heard nothing in the news. And I like Percy Sledge. I thought, I respected Prince and thought he was an amazing artist. I just wasn't particularly into any of his music. But I think it's a shame that we've lost such a great musician and a person who've of Greek culture.
You better catch up here, because anyway, just started listening and realised.
Percy Sledge. And she says, oh, I saw on Facebook. And I says, oh, you better check it. Was it this weekend? Because I had heard nothing on Radio 6. I thought that was awful strange.
In fairness, to be fair, the news does take a while to drift up to Wick on occasion.
So she turns out Percy Sledge died on the 14th of April 2015. That's last year. So it wasn't in the same day.
And
it's more
than it's a year and 6 days. Not even on the same day. Unless she knew something that we don't.
I don't know. Oh, bless her up and down. Still think I quite like Percy Sledge and he can sing to us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crack, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you who else I want.
Who?
I'm going to have to look up his name now.
What?
Pause me.
Oh, I'll
speak.
So, listeners, have you been drinking anything recently? Hello to Mr. Brett Yarn and to Mr. Gardening Witch and to... So you want somebody else?
Yes.
Who?
Oh, he's only... Well, he's 3 years younger than me.
Tell the listeners, there's quite a few people that are 3 years younger
Craig
than me.
Craig Parkinson.
They're not mind readers.
Craig Parkinson, who's an actor.
Uh-huh.
In, well, he's an actor in lots of things I've seen him in. But recently... He's been in the third series of a crime drama called Line of Duty.
This is incredibly good, listeners.
Very tense.
Very tense.
And I want him in this. I want to look him in the eyes and his character, to be honest. What is his character called?
Cotton.
Cotton. Cotton. I'm going to say Cotton. How could you? Why? How could you? And I'm not going to say any more because I don't want to spoil it for anyone.
I don't want him in my house. He's not a nice character.
Aye, I'll take him down the shed.
No, I don't want him anywhere near us.
I'll take him. No,
he's twisted.
If he's in that
really
shed,
really
if he's in the shed,
I don't want him drinking any Wolfburn.
He's not going to get Wolfburn. He's going to sit in the shed and watch me drink Wolfburn, and he wouldn't be able to do anything about it. I'm going to make him sit there.
No, let's just
speak
leave
him
in his imagination.
I want to know how we could do such a thing.
Being in an imagination program, it's not real.
He's broke my heart.
He's not real.
He's broken my heart.
listeners. This is one that you need to watch. Line of Duty, series 1, 2, and 3.
I don't know if
it'll
be. It's not going to be for everyone's cup of tea. It's quite hard.
Oh, it's harsh. It's vicious. But if you like good drama that'll keep you on the edge of your seat through the entire series, this is one. Mm. It is. All three.
Every episode ends in a cliffhanger.
And you're guessing whether it's going to come right or not.
Well, we kind of know how it's going now.
Oh, oh.
But how deep it goes. Mm. Oh. Oh, dear.
It's hard not seeing anything giving them spoilers, isn't it?
I know. Did you know that Keely Hodges was in Line of Duty?
I think you've had her already.
Can I have her again?
Okay, then. He loves Keely Hodges. Keely Hodges knits.
She can knit.
Well, you're used to watching me and you'll be able to ask her questions, relevant ones.
I know, but she'd come in here and start talking to you about knitting instead of talking to me about
Oh, no, I wouldn't be
bikes.
Here. Mind you, I'd have to chaperone you.
You would have, I'd have to be in my bed. I'd probably even shave.
Ooh, listeners.
Listeners.
This Wolfburn was very good.
I haven't had much.
Right, so would you buy this dram again?
I already have.
That wasn't for you.
Well, I'm going again anyway for your retreat. And yes, I would drink it again. Not just for the
local
social economic aspect of it, but also because I do enjoy it. It's nice. It's a nice dram. It's not, like I say, I stand by it. It's not a distinctive taste.
It's not hard to drink, I find.
Oh, it's nice. It's nice.
Do you want one or two in a session?
I'm going to try two tonight.
Okay.
I've only had one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try two.
One?
Yeah.
What, one great big one?
No, it wasn't that big. But...
There's less than half left in that
no,
bowl.
No, I'm about half now.
Yeah, but you didn't have, like, the rest of that dram, barring the ones that we had tonight.
We got around and we got average.
We haven't had anybody here to drink anything. These people are fictional that we didn't have to drink. Made up in our own minds.
Yeah, minor details. I think I always maintain any more than two.
Well, that's true. It's not good for
malt whiskies is a waste
anything.
Because you're wasting the flavour and the taste. You might as well be drinking cooking whiskey.
We've got another dram up there.
Yeah,
what
you've got
there?
your Finlaggan.
I thought we'd done that.
Which is your birthday present from February, and you've still not done
February.
The drams in it.
My birthday was
March. Sorry, I was thinking of Keely. Hold on, I'll tell you when's her birthday. Actually, I'm going to laugh if it's February. Yes, it's February 10th! Sorry, I was drinking out with Keely and, you know, and I got mixed up there.
Don't like how many more listeners we're just about to have a domestic. Some of this will be in the outtakes at the end, as including the bickering and the...
Can I put a subtitle? Quietly retreats to the far corner to minimise damaged bodily person.
Yeah, you better. I don't even know what I was going to say now.
I don't know what you were going to say. I love tomatoes.
That's nice.
Because you're so sarcastic. That's nice. I like turtles.
I can't think of anything to say. I'm trying to wind this up. Oh, I'm going to have so much outtakes. It's going to be great. You're going to be eating like there's no tomorrow. You've no idea what I mean, do you?
I've not got a clue. When I don't care. Just pass me the whiskey. I like whiskey.
With Bermichi top mints.
Right.
Slangeva.
Oikiva.
Oikiva.
And you can still buy some of the Wolfburn from Mackay's Grocers in Thurso, amongst other places around. Do your homework, but recommend this, it's a lovely dram.
Shoppy section.
Thank you very much for your purchases. I do much appreciate it. The shop has a Red MacGregor, a Bruce McLean Ferguson, and two handbags, one blue, one red, and a notebook with hand-embroidered cover with Dinna Fash for you Outlander fans. And there is one sheep tea cosy. If you want to contribute to my continued running of the podcast, pocket stuff bag as well, then please do go visit www.etsy.com/shop/Caithness Craft.
Blah 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 blah
blah blah blah section. Thank you very much for listening. I really appreciate you taking the time to download and then listen to me splaff on, and for your patience in the missed episode or the delayed episode. My email is caithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com. I am on Ravelry as Louise Hunt. Etsy, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook as caithnesscraft. You can access the Flickr photos from LouiseG2010, must update some of them, or via the Podbean site is www.caithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com, and the photos are down the right hand side there. The music was from Free Music Archive and it's called Entertainment, Braindead by a friend. Not that I think any of you are braindead, I just kind of like the introduction and it was tuneful. Thank you for listening and keep on crafting.
Ding or deal?
Oh, ding.
Ding or deal? Was it ding? Was it?
It was ding or deal.
Ah, right, okay. So.
Why are you picking your ears?
No, I was saying she had a bit guilty pleasures.
I don't know if I want guilty pleasures. Okay. And also, can I have guilty pleasures?
Oh, guilty pleasures? Yeah, tell me. What's your guilty pleasure?
Which in River City. So with Gordon.
You know he's sticking through there?
He always says the last word, doesn't he? Becca!